In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So as you know, in our calendar, there are four Sundays for every Coptic month. So we are now in the first month of the Coptic New Year, it's called Tut, and this is the fourth Sunday of the month of Tut. And every month, there is a theme that runs through those four Sundays. So the month of Tut has a theme. The next month, Beba, those four Sundays also have a theme that the church has instructed us. Of course, by the way, if there's a fifth Sunday that just happens to come, a fifth Sunday, as you know, some of you, we read the gospel of what? It's the gospel of blessing, which is the miracle of feeding the multitude with the five loaves and the two fish, because there were blessings left over. There were 12 fragments. 12 baskets of fragments left over, so it's a blessing, so just as a fifth Sunday is also a blessing. So in these four Sundays of Tut, the theme that runs through is the love of God for His people. The love of God for His people. How do we apply that for those four Sundays? Well, let's look back. That first Sunday of Tut, which we celebrated around the Coptic New Year, the Gospel speaks to us about or introducing us to John the Baptist, the one who was to pave the way for people to receive our Savior through repentance, the one who was handpicked by God to preach the kingdom of heaven and to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. And he was the perfect one to do that. Again, out of God's love, he chose a great prophet like John the Baptist to do so. In the second Sunday of Tut, if you remember, the gospel speaks of God's salvation that's revealed to all of mankind. That's when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes." Of course, the wise and the prudent are the Pharisees and the scribes who really depend on their own wisdom, their own understanding. And really their eyes were blinded from the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The babes are those who have a simple and pure heart, without conceit, without ulterior motives, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, such as the disciples and apostles of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had the faith in Him and who began to spread the word. In the third Sunday of Tut, which was last Sunday, which we didn't hear because the Feast of the Cross took precedence, and so the gospel last Sunday was about the Feast of the Cross, but it was supposed to be about the gospel speaking to us of salvation granted to those who accept the preaching of the gospel, such as Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who became a changed man. He became transformed, and he accepted Christ into his home, and Christ said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." A greedy man, a thief, if I can call him, one who became a philanthropist after meeting Christ. So salvation to those who accepted the gospel after hearing it. Again, the love of God to His people. And finally, today is the fourth Sunday of Tut, and the gospel today speaks about the honor gained by those who are saved by the preaching of the gospel, but after they have been lost first, after they have gone astray. And you already know the parable of the prodigal son. Today's gospel is about the sinful woman. And when we read that gospel, we can't help but to rejoice. Rejoice at God's goodness. Rejoice at God's mercy. Rejoice that God gives people a second chance. And by the way, if you want to reflect on this particular gospel, it's depicted in iconography. We have it here. It's the middle icon there, as you can see. The sinful woman at the feet of our Savior Jesus Christ and Simon the Pharisee standing there. We're rejoicing because our Savior Jesus Christ has formed for us a way of salvation which was unmatched in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, what would happen under the law of Moses if you committed such a sin? or an offense, you were put to death without mercy, without a second chance, maybe without even a trial, without even being given the benefit of the doubt. You were blamed, you were guilty, you were put to death. But today, our Savior Jesus Christ, as we read in the Gospel, he removed the curse of the law, and he became our merciful high priest. And he set free all of those who were held captive as slaves to sin. Let's look at the repentance of the sinful woman. This woman was defiled with lewdness. She was filthy in her behavior, impure in her lifestyle. She had many transgressions. But I must say, she is not so much unlike us. You know, I can sit here and say, well, this gospel must be for other people. It doesn't apply to me because I didn't do what the sinful woman did. But if you think about it deeply, maybe we have committed the same sin that the sinful woman did, but by our thoughts, by our words, or by our intentions. So this gospel is for all of us. Look at how she didn't miss the opportunity to meet Christ. How many times have we had an opportunity to meet Christ and we've blown it? Even as simple as getting up early on Sunday morning to make it to the liturgy to receive the Eucharist, and we decide we want to take a break because we work so hard during the week. We are successful businessmen and businesswomen, and we're academically strong, and we have to focus on these things of the world, ambitious about our futures, but we don't invest in our eternal life. We have an opportunity to meet Christ every Sunday, and even oftentimes more than that. How many times have we been given the opportunity to repent, or have been given the message by God through any medium, through any forum, to repent, and we've missed that opportunity? Just passed us by. And even if we said to ourselves, okay, next time I will do it, next week, that next week never comes, and you know that. But she didn't miss the opportunity. She fled for refuge to him who knows how to save. She didn't go to any other physician. She went to the true physician. And she showed a repentance, a true repentance. She didn't even open her mouth. We don't have a dialogue written between Christ and the sinful woman, do we? We don't hear that she said anything. She didn't open her mouth. There was no discussion. But she manifested her repentance in her actions. It was signified by her, what? Washing the feet of our Savior with her tears and wiping them with the hair of her head. She began to kiss his feet and anoint it with this costly ointment. She had a great love in her heart, and she offered it to our Savior Jesus Christ. She entered into Simon's house, where she didn't belong, where she wasn't invited, where nobody knew her probably as, or maybe they knew her, maybe she had a bad reputation, I'm not sure. But she went in there, and she was weeping publicly in front of strangers, probably forgetting her dignity and her self-respect. Well, I want to ask you a question. How many times do we complain that it would be embarrassing to confess our sins to a clergyman? What's he going to say about me? He's going to judge me. He's going to think bad. And this woman didn't fear even public humiliation. I'll ask you another question. What's more astonishing? That this woman sucked up her pride and went and met with Christ, or the fact that Christ received her? Which one is more astonishing? Both of them are great feats. Both of them are great accomplishments. This woman who came with an alabaster flask of very costly ointment that could have been used for, it's a perfume, so it could have been used for her seducing men. This was her tool. This was her trade. And here she uses it to anoint our Savior Jesus Christ. Her eyes, which she probably had the best eyeshadow or whatever, cosmetics, again, to allure men. Look at what her eyes were doing now in front of our Savior Jesus Christ. She was in tears. Or her hair, which she probably spent time in the mornings to make herself look as beautiful as possible so that she can attract as many men. Look at what she did with her hair. She used it to wipe the tears on the feet of Christ. Or her mouth. Her mouth, who probably spoke very lewd things, again, to arouse men. She uses her mouth to kiss the feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of the things that she used to use for evil, she now transformed them as a sacrifice, offering it happily to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Simon, on the other hand, a Pharisee, who was supposed to know the law and keep the law, didn't so much as greet our Savior, Jesus Christ, didn't show any love for him or offer him any really kind of service. Simon was judging this woman in his heart, and Simon himself didn't show any sign of repentance, didn't merit forgiveness from Christ. And the message that our Lord was sending to Simon through the parable that he told him is that even though Simon considered this woman's sins great, maybe the whole community considered her sins great, but they didn't differ that little, didn't differ that much from his own sins in the eyes of God. What's the difference? A sin is a sin. She has the sin of lust, and he suffered from the sin of what? Pride and judgment. But we know that our Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners and to show compassion for those who are suffering and for those who are sick. Simon, a proud person, was rebuking the sinful woman because he didn't see his own sins. And so our Savior, Jesus Christ, was caught between two sinners. One who was weeping over her sins and recognized her fever of sin, and the other who was oblivious. Both sinners. What is he to do? Well, he's the true physician, so maybe he belonged there. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he looked at the sinful woman and he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." How do we know about her faith? How did he know her faith? By her actions. By the repentance that was shown, manifested publicly. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, this woman must have heard our Savior preaching somewhere else at another time. And she believed. And so that's why she came to Simon's house unannounced when she heard that Christ was there. She must have known about him. She must have heard of him. And our Savior proclaimed that her faith was the tool of salvation. Her faith was expressed in good works. So it's not an empty faith. It's not a meaningless faith. It's a faith in action, which is what James talks about. By anointing the feet of our Savior Jesus Christ with her hair, and her hair is the crown of her glory, the crown of her beauty, one that you're not supposed to touch in that way, but she didn't care because she was offering a true and genuine repentance to our Savior Jesus Christ. So I hope that when you read this passage, you remember the theme of the month of Tut, which is the love of God to his people. But I hope it brings joy to your heart. We should be rejoicing at the hope that is restored in us through this sinful woman who is an example of all of us, who is a type of us, we who are also sinful. A woman who was disgraceful, a woman who deserved blame for her impurities, but she was justified by our Master. If she can be justified, then who else can be justified? We also can be justified. If Zacchaeus can be justified, then we can be justified. If the harlot that was going to be stoned to death can be justified, so can we. If the thief who was crucified on the right-hand side of Christ was justified and saved, so can we. If St. Moses the Ethiopian was saved, despite his previous lifestyle, so also we can be saved. So we should have this confidence, and we should be giving thanks to God because of his mercy on his people. when we read this gospel. And we should draw closer to God, and we should try to escape the snares of the devil. He was always going to try to bring us down and to draw us away from salvation. But let's stand before our Savior. Let's shed tears of repentance. Let's anoint with any ointment that we have, as the sinful woman did. And you'll see what's going to happen, how God is going to embrace us with open arms, as we read in the story of the prodigal son. So we kind of have to wake up. We have to watch Satan as he intoxicates people. He desensitizes people into sin. He fills our hearts with vile things that we don't recognize, like Simon, for example. So we have to wake up. St. Paul says, let us not be constantly engaged in revels and drunkenness, but rather let us work what is good. For we are not of the night nor of darkness, but children of light and of the day. Romans chapter 13. So, let's not be troubled by the weight of our sins, our former sins, but let's keep faith in Christ. That's going to lead us to the straight path of righteousness, and it is going to grant us salvation through an act of repentance. How many times are you going to hear that word, whether it's at a sermon or even any CD or DVD that you're watching or listening to, or you open your Bible, or you're praying from your Agbeya, or just in talking to others, you're going to be reminded of the act of repentance as a salvific act, because when you repent, you are cleared to participate in the Eucharist of our Savior Jesus Christ, and then we become partakers of the kingdom of God, and glory be to God forever. Amen.